Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ira Victor, the digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the program one of my favorite guests, Ira Victor. He's a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com, host of the CyberJungle.com. And my first question is, who should I be more afraid of, North Korea or Alexia?
Oh, and it's Alexa.
Alexa, I'm sorry.
Wow, tough question. I think actually we should be more afraid of authentic cyber criminals. So let me sort of expand on your question. North Korea definitely is doing a lot of cyber crime and a lot of financial cyber crime, but they're not the only ones. So there is an enormous amount of cyber crime coming out of China, coming out of Pakistan, Iran, believe it or not, Brazil. I've actually tracked financial crime attacks that get routed through Brazil. Former parts of the Soviet Union, there's a lot of cyber crime coming out. And you know what? A lot of cyber crime is coming from the United States. So we're seeing actually cyber criminals that are in the United States and conducting their crime right here on our shores. So I'd say the bigger threat is from the cyber criminals. Alexa is a threat to our privacy. That's what really Alexa is a threat to right now. We're not seeing a lot of cyber criminals leveraging these artificial intelligence engines yet.
Yeah, because I mean, it just scares me. You know, my wife and I have been talking about, you know, the possibility of installing this at our house. And, you know, I've got Siri on my phone. To an extent, I use that. But I'm just not comfortable opening up another door that's linked to my house for people to potentially get in.
That is a very warranted concern, Sam. When you think about this is in a category connected devices. So computer and internet and artificial intelligence devices that are connected and for practical purposes, always on and always connected to the internet. When you think about a connected device, here's what you should think about. Think about security and privacy vulnerabilities. Just put them together. So say to yourself, as I introduce this kind of device into my home or into my office, I'm introducing more security, privacy, and vulnerabilities. How are you going to mitigate that risk? And then say to yourself, is it worth me mitigating the risk versus not having it and just leaving it? If you want to use that on your smartphone when you need it.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you can get a refrigerator that is online and that will tell you when to order, you know, products that you've used up.
Correct.
But my concern is that I turn on my TV and it tells me, oh, it's been upgraded.
Yes, it's been upgraded. Your TV is a connected device.
I had no idea.
Yes.
What did it update? It doesn't even tell me.
Well, and we have – so let's talk about the refrigerators. There was a company in the news a few years ago that had refrigerators that were connected to the internet so that the temperatures could be monitored. Target. The Target breach happened because the company that Target had hired to monitor the temperature of the refrigeration cases where they kept milk, that the internet connection from that company to the refrigerators in the Target stores were the vector to allow the cyber criminals to break into Target's wider network and steal all that credit card data. So this is not, we're not talking hypothetical here. Their refrigerators at Target are internet-enabled refrigerators, and this is what happens. So when you think about connected devices, think about security and privacy vulnerabilities because they are wrapped very tightly together.
And, you know, the big discussion over the last few weeks has been net neutrality and the repeal of that. And people worrying about whether their products are going to be sped up or slowed down and are they going to have to pay more money for it. But it just seems that as more and more of these invisible wires come into our house, that we're just opening up more and more doors for us to get in trouble.
We absolutely are. So the televisions, we did see a vulnerability in one of the major television manufacturers that they wanted to allow voice enabling on the television, and it was recording your conversations in your home. And you're allowing that into your home. So yeah, these are factors to consider. And, you know, but there are little things we can do. So how many people listening to this have a laptop with a little camera on the top? I own multiple laptops. Every single one of them has a little piece of black electrical tape over the speaker and the microphone. If I need it, I can peel it off and put it back on. But 99% of the time, it is completely covered, both the speaker, the microphone, and the camera. Because that camera can go on even without the indicator light showing. Same thing with your television. Connected devices introduce security and privacy vulnerabilities, period, full stop.
And every once in a while on your phone, it'll say, may I access your camera? And it's like, no.
Correct. Well, so that's a really good point, Sam. Our phones are pocket connected devices. So you should think twice about what you use your phone for. I don't do banking on my phone. I don't do stock trades on my phone. I don't do information about my healthcare on my phone. It's a persistent connected device that I'm carrying around with me all the time. What am I thinking? Security and privacy vulnerabilities. So I don't do those kinds of activities on any of my phones, because it's one of these connected devices.
Somebody was talking to me the other day, and I was mentioning that I needed to make some payments to someone. And they said, oh, let me give you this site to go to, and just enter in your routing number, and you will be able to transfer the money. You know, and I went,
that's crazy.
Are you kidding me?
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
And they said, oh, we've been doing it for a long time. We're very comfortable with this. I said, I'm not. IRA.
Yeah. I would say no to someone that would make that offer to me. I'd get them the money another way. There are only two types of computer networks. Unless you have a very high security system in place, there are only two types of computer networks and computer systems. Those that are compromised and the owners of them know where and how far the compromise is, and those that are compromised and the owners don't know where and how far. And just because someone says we've never had any problem is absolutely not an indication that the systems have not already been breached.
Okay, so let's talk about the Equifax fallout. I'm not reading about millions of people who are complaining and stories being told of them of problems that came from that hack. But my understanding is that these hacks could occur 10, 15, 20 years from now.
That's correct. A lot of what is going on is, and I don't know specifically whether this is happening with Equifax, but it's happened with other breaches, is that the attackers will slice and dice that data and sell them to other attackers that will do other attacks on people. And it's very difficult to have attribution. That's one of the challenges we have in digital forensics and cybercrime is how do we connect the dots between one attack and one breach and one activity and something else? Because there's not a lot of transparency in how the cyber criminals are doing what they do.
And the other thing that's interesting is that a lot of the ransoms are for relatively small amounts, $300 if you pay us right away, $500 if you do it by the end of the week or your data's gone.
Yes.
It's not $10,000 or $1 million. It's not like ransoming a person.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of the ransomware is relatively small amounts, although the cyber criminals are starting to realize that when they get it, the amount of ransom seems to vary with the nature of the victim. So hospitals have been asked to pay tens of thousands of dollars. Mecklenburg in North or South Carolina, in the Carolinas, they got hit by ransomware, and it took down hundreds of systems at the county. And the ransomware request was $23,000. What the folks at the county said, we're not quite sure if they mean $23,000 per system or $23,000 total. And they had a couple hundred systems impacted. So the amount of ransomware seems to vary. I think that the bad guys are learning like retailers. We're going to see what the market bears when we ask for our ransom.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ira Victor when we come back.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ira Victor. He's a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com. Bitcoin. It's been in the news so much lately, the value going up and down. Reading about the first millionaire kid on Bitcoin. But most people have absolutely no clue what this is. And so please explain.
All right. So let's just do some fundamentals on digital currency. Bitcoin is the most popular, most well-known digital currency. The basics are this. You can create the coin, release a coin that has value because the creation of the coin takes work. That's like gold and silver. The reason gold has value over the millennial is that, relatively speaking, 1,000 years ago, it took about the same amount of energy and money to extract an ounce of gold as it does today, even taking into consideration technological advances. So it becomes a store of value. Digital currency has that same element, where as the currency grows and as time goes on, it takes more and more energy and processing power to mine one coin. Now, the other element of digital currency that's really fascinating is that you can conduct transactions without a third party to trust. So think about being able to buy and sell real estate without having to hire an escrow company. Think about buying and selling stocks without having to have clearance through Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley, the biggest clearer stock transactions. So that is very exciting. You do not need to have Bitcoin in order to use that ledger, that blockchain. And another easy way to think about the ledger is it's a giant distributed Excel worksheet. And lots of people are checking the calculations in the Excel worksheet. And those people that come up with in a consensus and then check the calculations and say, yes, this is correct. The first people to do that quickly, they get some coin, some digital currency as an incentive to do those calculations. So you can have this non-third party, but still have transactions between people that don't need to trust each other. That's very exciting. What's happened, though, is that we've seen this flood of interest literally towards digital currency, but very few people have sat back and said, wait a minute, if we're doing these transactions where we don't trust the other people, if the computer and digital systems that we're using to do all these transactions are insecure, then we may lose everything because it's literally just a string of numbers. There's nothing tangible about it. And that's what we've been seeing. We've been seeing cyber attacks against exchanges that have caused bankruptcies in the exchanges. So imagine you've got an account at a local bank or a stock brokerage, and one day you wake up and said, oops, we've been breached by cyber criminals, and your account is empty or virtually empty. Well, that's what's happening with some of the digital currency exchanges. Also, going back to what we talked about before with smartphones and using programs to do financial transactions, in December, during a period in December, the number one app in the Apple App Store was a digital currency transaction app. It's a platform like you would a bank or stock brokerage. But research has shown that some 90% of those apps have serious security vulnerabilities. 90%. That's virtually all of them.
Right.
And so people are trading, you know, people are mortgaging their homes to buy digital currency, and they're putting that on a platform that could have a lot of serious security vulnerabilities. So I think that it's for those who are interested in digital currency, there's lots of excitement around it and lots of uses for this blockchain, this distributed ledger. But the security needs to be built in from the beginning rather than an add-on. And what I'm seeing more is the activity of the add-on happening with security, and there, you know, it's added in later, and therefore those systems are just not secure and not ready for prime time.
And so what's your advice to somebody who's interested in dabbling? Because, you know, your excitement is that you can take out the middle player, but it seems to me that more than ever, unless you're very astute, that you need somebody to advise you.
So you do. So that's actually a very good observation, Sam. The transaction between the buyer and seller does not require an established third party. But you as an everyday person needs to go to an exchange, which is a third party, to facilitate that. So you have to be really careful. A lot of the people that are in this, the general category here is fintech, financial technology. Digital currency is a subset of the growth in fintech. My observation in fintech has been that a lot of these companies blend IT and information security and risk together in one department. And that's usually where a lot of data breaches come from, because the companies don't separate the risk issue from the operations element. So the first thing you want to do is you want to deal with someone that actually has a separate information security department from IT. And there actually is a really good bunch of companies that do that. Those are stockbrokers, our traditional stockbrokers. There are now products you can buy that track the value of digital currency. You can deal with them, and they have good security, and they're buying an instrument on your behalf. So there's a trust that tracks that buys and sells Bitcoin called GBTC. It has its ups and downs, but you can buy it through your normal stockbroker, and you know that when you have your gains, the likelihood of that money not being there tomorrow is not not likely to happen, because you're buying it through the traditional stock market.
Okay, so I'll take your fintech and I'll raise it to a FinCEN, which is the Treasury Department. And normally, traditional institutions, and that could be hotel casinos as well as banks, if there's a transaction of more than $10,000, that has to be reported to the Treasury. Does the same thing apply to Bitcoin, or are they able to bypass that? And I got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, so the answer is the government is, both here in the United States and abroad, governments are cracking down on the movement of money in and out of digital currency without it being reported. In the new tax law that just took effect, you can, as I understand it, you can no longer sell one digital currency and buy another and do that without tax consequences. So yes, you have to take into consideration reporting. Again, that's why I like doing it through a stockbroker, because they handle all that reporting for you, so you don't have a knock on your door from the IRS or FinCEN over money laundering.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ira Victor when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet.
delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue on our conversation with Ira Victor. He's a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com and host of TheCyberJungle.com. So off air, we were talking about how the problems in California look like they're going to lead to an increasing boom in Nevada.
Yeah, there is a growing set of economic numbers that are saying that it's just too gosh darn expensive to do a lot of business in California like we used to. And I think this is now I'm going into speculation. The stats are still out on this. I think a lot of tech companies that would have naturally thought about locating in the Bay Area or in Southern California, that there really is a serious look at what's called flyover country, the space between the East Coast and the West Coast. And we're in flyover country, baby. And I think we're going to see more activity. Last month in December, Nevada was the second fastest growing state in population, just behind Idaho. And guess what the number three was? Utah. All flyover country. And I think we are going to see much more activity in technology happen right here in northern Nevada than we have seen in the recent past.
Let me ask you this, and I asked you a similar question. We've got about a minute left here. You know, what's your biggest fear right now?
You know, my biggest fear right now is what I don't know. There's so much activity going on online and so many things that are being moved online from the non-online space. And every indication is that there's not this awareness and concern by the providers of these services about the importance of information security and privacy, and that they won't bake that in, and that we will suffer the consequences.
And we can see that coming down the pike here. Ira Victor is a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com. You can hear his podcast. He's the host of TheCyberJungle.com. Always a pleasure, sir. It's going to be a great year.
Good to be here, Sam. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Take Nevada Newsmakers with you wherever you go by downloading podcasts of the show. It's available on iTunes and Stitcher. We'll see you on the next broadcast.